All right. Well, I think we'll go ahead and get started. I think most people are probably made their way back from the Trailblazers room, but if you didn't get enough to eat, I'm sure there's lots more right here on the back. Feel free to go and grab some more. There's also a huge jug right here of water, too. Yeah, good. Yeah, I'll work on that. All right, listen to this passage. We worked through this a few weeks ago, but I want you to hear it again. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." We're right in the middle of this teaching series that we called Alive. What does it look like for us to be the church? What does it look like for us to be the presence of Jesus in our community in such a way that it actually makes a difference? What does it look like for you to live your life in a manner where other people see you and thirst for God? With that in mind, let's begin. Let's start with prayer. God, thanks so much for who you are. Thanks so much that you have spoken. Thanks so much that you have breathed your peace and your comfort and your hope and your joy and your life and your truth out on us. And God, give us the ability, help us to learn what it looks like to inhale the breath of God. And more than that, God, help us to learn what it looks like to breathe that out on the people closest to us. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Well, today is titled Living Truth. And I believe that every single one of us has the capacity to comprehend and to absorb the truth of God. And as we do, I believe that cultivates in us a desire to not only understand and absorb that truth, but to speak that truth out into the lives of other people. In other words, the more that we inhale the breath of God, the more we desire to breathe that breath out on other people. The more we inhale the hope and the truth, and the life, and the peace, and the comfort, and the joy of God, the more we long, and the more we desire to breathe that same breath out on the people closest to us. I don't know about you, but I have this really hard time staying focused, and I get drawn off track really, really easily. In fact, in college, we would do this thing during exam weeks. For some reason, it was always during the exam week that I would have the hardest time focusing. I don't know what it was with that, but during exam week, one year, I was supposed to be studying. I was supposed to be working through preparing for my exams, but for some reason, I thought it would be really funny if I got on the phone and I called random rooms, and I pretended like I was the DJ for the campus radio station. And I said to the people, whoever picked up, I said, "You've just won a free t-shirt or concert tickets or a free sweatshirt. But the catch is you have to get down to the campus radio station in a minute or less or you don't get this prize." And then I would hang up and I would stand at my window and I would watch and I would see like a guy in his pajamas running across the plaza as fast as he could trying to get to these concert tickets or free t-shirt. It probably wasn't the nicest thing to do. But when you're studying for exams, it was pretty funny. one year, I had a dorm that was on the first floor, and I had these huge speakers. Me and my roommate had these giant speakers, and we would turn these speakers around, and we would face them towards the window, and we'd open the window, and right outside my window was this sidewalk, and along the sidewalk, it was like the campus thoroughfare, so anyone that was leaving to go to class or anyone that was on their way back from class would be walking on this side. It was like the only sidewalk to walk on. And so we would turn off the lights in our dorm room, and we'd get on a microphone, And as these people are walking by at maybe like 7:30 on their way to an 8 o'clock class, we would blast this speaker and just, you know, yell funny stuff at him and scare him half to death. But and then we would just sit inside and we'd watch through the gap in the window and see the reaction. It was pretty funny. So about my junior year in college, I realized that I probably had to make some changes in my study habits in order to graduate. So I was driving through McDonald's one day, and in a Happy Meal, I got these goggles. And I decided that these would be my study goggles. And I set these goggles on top of my desk. And whenever I had to really study, I would take these goggles and I would put them on. And I don't know why it worked, but for some reason, I could, like, focus. And I stayed focused, and I stayed on task. And the people in my dorm learned very quickly that, okay, if he's got the goggles on, he's studying, and I can't mess with him because he's like, in the zone. And so I was able to, like, blind everything else out, and I was able to study. And so I kept these goggles right above my desk so that whenever I needed to study, I could just grab those. But for some reason, for me, it's so easy to get off track, to go down other courses, to begin doing other things, to forget entirely what I was really doing in the first place. And sometimes in the busyness or in the chaos or in all the other things that I'm doing, I forget or I don't even hear or realize or listen to the most important thing. So today we're going to do two things. And the first is I'm going to, in a matter of just a few simple phrases, explain the entire Bible. And in that, you'll hear the most important thing, the most vital things that we believe here at Journey. You will be able to grasp, you will be able to hang on to, you'll be able to absorb and understand the simplest of truths that we believe. The whole reason why this thing exists, the whole reason why we gather together, you will hear that as I unpack just a few simple key ideas here in the Scriptures. So, here it is. The Bible begins, and it says that God created everything. And then it says that God breathes life into humanity. And then it says that God speaks, and he begins to describe how much he cares for us, how much he loves us, how much he longs to be the focus of our hearts and our minds and our souls. And he uses words like perfect father to describe how much he cares for us and how much he loves us. And then, if you keep reading, this story begins much like my own story, and it begins to talk about people who are motivated by selfishness and therefore are driven to do selfish things, people who are motivated by pride and therefore are driven to do prideful things, people who go against the very character and the very nature of who God is, people who reject God, people who walk away from God. And then if we keep reading, humanity becomes imperfect people and can no longer be in the presence of a perfect God. And yet, story after story after story after story after story, we read of a perfect God chasing after imperfect people. And he longs to be with us, and yet we so often turn our backs on him. And then we read about God's perfect mercy balanced by his perfect justice. God is a perfectly just God. He's a perfectly fair God. And because he is perfectly fair, he demands penalty for the times where we commit acts or thoughts or words or actions that go against the character and the nature of God. And he demands penalty and payment for that because he is a perfectly just God. And we read, and we continue to read, that penalty, payment, is blood. That penalty, the payment, is death. And God, in his perfect justice, demands that there's payment, that there's penalty for the times that we've walked away from him. And in his perfect mercy, he chooses to pay that penalty with himself. And so we keep reading, and we read about a man, Jesus, God in the flesh, God who comes as a human, and offers his body, his blood, to be spilled and broken on our behalf. And if we keep reading, we read that we have an opportunity to trust in Jesus. And now, no matter how simple or mundane the choices we've made to walk away from God, or no matter how terrible or horrible or horrific the choices or actions or thoughts or words that we've made or said that go against the character of God, we now have a way to get back to God. We now have, as imperfect people, opportunity to become perfect through the blood and the body that was broken on our behalf. This is it. That is the core. That is the simple, basic truths that we believe here at Journey. This is why we exist, to tell more and more people about the life that we can experience through Jesus, the closeness to God that we can experience through Jesus. That's it. That's the core. That's the most important thing. That's the most vital thing you'll hear ever here at Journey. And sometimes it can get kind of busy and kind of chaotic, and often we do a thing once a year called Sacred Simplicity, where it's good to just strip everything else away and boil it down to the simple, most important, most vital, most basic truths in which we believe. So that's it. So we're going to take about 10 minutes, and you'll see an envelope on your table. In that envelope is some questions you can work through with your table, or if you want, you can combine with a couple tables. And I want you to, for about 10 minutes, just to work through those questions. And you can either do that, or I'm going to meet right here at this table. And at my table, we're going to continue to dialogue and work through some of just some of the thoughts about Jesus, some of the thoughts about the scriptures. I give you a very brief description. And if you have more questions about that, or you would even wonder, well, okay, so what does it look like for me to trust Jesus? Or I don't think that I'm very close to God, and this guy says I can be, so what does that look like, and how do I do that? You can come and join us at this table. I mean, a couple of other people are going to gather together and just kind of continue to roll through that and talk through that. Otherwise, grab your envelope and open it up, work through those questions, and we'll get back together in about 10 minutes. Hey, for just a few minutes, let's talk about what you came up with. What do you have? What did your group come up with for the first question? Rephrasing the truth, kind of as a group. What did you guys have? Anybody?
We were made to love God.
We were made to love God. Oh, that's great. Yeah, awesome. What else?
We wondered if there was a simple phrase for truth.
Ours got huge.
That is awesome. Yeah. They said, I wonder if there's a simple phrase for truth. And yeah, you know what? I would argue that there isn't. I would say it is complex and confusing and hard to understand. And that's awesome. I'm glad you came to that conclusion. What else? Anybody else? God's Word. Yeah, very cool.
A perfect plan for imperfect people.
Perfect plan for imperfect people. Anybody else? God created everyone with a purpose to bring glory and honor to Him. Yeah. In everything. All right, I was almost there. Almost there. Awesome. Very cool. What about the second part? And we talk about this truth. We talk about what it means and the words that we can either read off a page or speak, but what does it look like? How do we do it? How do we live it? What did you come up with the second part? It was a little bit harder. How do we actually live this truth out?
We can love God by loving others.
Can love God by loving others. Yeah. Awesome.
Sometimes we have to see things through somebody else's vantage point, through their eyes.
Yeah.
Somebody was driving down the road and having a hard time with that today, but we talked it out. That's good.
Yeah. Awesome. What else? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, creative ways to deal with the world through God's perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, what else? Any, a couple more.
Not being focused on ourselves.
Not being focused on ourselves. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Giving God credit for everything.
Yeah.
And 100% trust.
Yeah, giving God credit for everything. And
even good and bad.
Good, yeah, that's, yeah. Yep.
What we might perceive as bad is just part of His plan to set up in the future.
Yep, yep. Yeah, awesome. Maybe one more. Anybody else? One more way to live out this truth that we've described.
We talked about the community aspect, needing each other.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Needing each other in a community, yeah. All right. Last week, a few weeks ago, we worked through a passage out of the book of John, chapter 20, and if you remember, or if you weren't here, the passage basically goes like this. Jesus shows up after he's died and been resurrected. He shows up to these people that he's been hanging out with for the past 3 years. And he shows up to them and he breathes on them. And we worked through that and we wrestled through what that might mean. We looked at one Greek word, which the word for breath, it means also means spirit. It means wind, and it means breathe. So when Jesus breathed out on his disciples, he was filling them with the Spirit. He was breathing out the breath of God on them. We look back at Genesis where it says that God breathed life into people. And here Jesus is breathing life into the disciples. And then he says, okay, I've come, and these are the things that I've done, and now I'm sending you out. Just like the Father sent me out, Now I'm sending you out, and I want you to go, and I want you to live like I lived. I want you to do the things that I did, and I want you to continue to inhale the breath of God, and I want you to continue to breathe out this breath of God on other people. Breathing out the peace of God, the comfort of God, the life of God, the truth of God, the hope, the everything. Breathe that out on the people who are right around you. And then we fast forward a few chapters, just a few months past that, and we can get a snapshot, we can get a glimpse of what's going on. What are the disciples doing? Here's what Jesus has told them to do. Well, what did they do with that? And we read about this group of people that have gathered together, and they're this community or gathering or assembly. In Greek, the word is ekklesia. In English, later on, we translated that word to mean church. So there's this community, there's this gathering of people together, churching together, and we read about all of the kinds of things that they're doing. How are they living out this life that Jesus called them to live out? Well, they're feeding the hungry, they're taking care of the poor, they're taking in all kinds of orphans and allowing them to live in their homes. In that day, a widow was the epitome of injustice. A widow, if your husband died, you were cast out. You no longer got any of your inheritance. Your property was sold right out from under you. Your house was sold. You had basically no money. You were forbidden to get a job. So you were basically just cast out on the streets and to live the rest of your life begging on the streets with no one to care for you and no one to really even pay attention to you. And we read about this community, these people that have gathered together and committed themselves to living out the same way that Jesus lived. We see this community taking these people in, these widows in to their own homes, and then sacrificing and making sure that they all had enough food to eat, that they all had enough clothes to wear, and that all of their needs were met. We read about these crazy things where some of these people who were part of this community would sell their house so that they could have money to buy food for the poor. And now you might say, well, man, that sounds like a crazy idea. You couldn't do that like nowadays. Well, it was even crazier for them. Because not only was your house like the most valuable thing you owned, but your house was tied to your lineage. It was like if you owned the house that you live in right now was owned by your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, and it was handed down to his son and 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 his son. And then all of a sudden you have it, like 20 generations later. That is what it meant to own property, to own land in the time of the Bible was written. And they said, you know what, we're going to take this and we're going to sell it and we're going to give the money to the poor. That was a huge deal to do something like that. And it would mean a lot more to them than it would even to us. I mean, it's a big deal for us to sell our house and give the money to the poor, but it was even a bigger deal for them. Let me read just a little bit out of the book of Acts chapter 4. Here's a snapshot, just a glimpse of what's going on. It says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This is just a few months after Jesus has breathed out on the disciples, and we get a snapshot of what they're doing, how they're living their lives, selling property, making sure that everyone's needs are met, caring for one another, loving each other. And if you were not a part of this community, like people who were outside this community, this church, they would look in and they would see all of the ways that this community was caring for people that no one else cared for, and all of the ways that they were caring for each other, and how none of them, not one of them, had any needs that weren't being met. And it was just crazy. And they called these people, they had a name for them, they called them The Way. This community, this group of people that would meet together, they called them The Way because of how they lived, how they cared for each other, how they cared for people who no one else would care for. And they were confused. A lot of them were probably a little bit perplexed. And at the same time, they were amazed. And the scriptures say that daily, people were added into this community. Daily, people asked the question, well, why would you live this way? Why are you doing that? And they would hear the answer, well, we're living this way because this is how Jesus has taught us how to live. And this is who Jesus is to us. And it says daily people were added into the community. Daily people said, you know what, that way of life, that Jesus that you worship, I want to be a part of that. And so they would be added to this community. At one point it says in one day, 3,000 people were added. Another time it says 5,000 people were added to this community. Daily people's lives were being transformed. Daily, people were committing to living and breathing the Spirit out on other people. Daily, people were choosing for the very first time to inhale the breath of God, the Spirit of God. We read that not only was this community doing good things and caring for people and loving people, but hand in hand, they were doing all these good things as a community. And they were teaching and preaching that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the one who has come to pay this penalty. Jesus was the one whose blood and body was shed so that we now have a way to be a part of this kingdom, part of God's family. Hand in hand, they were doing both of these at the very same time. Their love for Jesus was manifesting itself in love for the community. Here at Journey, I'm so encouraged about how quickly we jump on board doing good things for our community. I can list dozens of things that we do all the time for our community. Ways in which we break out of the walls of the middle school. The ways in which we are constantly in and a part of our community, caring for people that maybe no one else is going to care for. Caring for each other in ways that maybe wouldn't have otherwise. And yet, my fear is that people are drawn to how great of a job we do at caring for our community, how great of a job we do at caring for each other, but yet miss the Jesus that we worship. And my prayer is that as we continue to work and continue to do these good things for the people around us, as we continue to make sacrifices, I can tell you stories, really substantial sacrifices people have made right here in this room to care for one another and to care for people who are not a part of Journey or have ever even really heard of Journey. As we continue to work out and work hard to doing those good things, my prayer is that we would also grow in our ability and in our desire to speak the words of truth to other people, not only meeting their physical needs, not only meeting tangible needs, but speaking the truth in a way that would heal their soul. So that's my prayer as we work through this together. Last week, you'll see on your table these strips of fabric. Last week we did this, the teaching, it was in the form of stations. We didn't have a teaching part like we did today, but the teaching we did last week was in five different stations. And it was through the life of a guy named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was this blind, handicapped person who Jesus used as an example to point out that although he was handicapped physically, he was not handicapped spiritually, because his soul was ready and longing and thirsty for Jesus. And yet some of the disciples, although they were not physically handicapped, their souls were bound, their souls were broken. And so last week we used these strips of fabric to describe ways in which maybe our souls are handicapped, maybe ways in which we're blind to the truth. So today, I want to encourage you, as we're just going to play some music. And as we do, I want to encourage you to maybe take one of those strips of fabric and write down any ways that maybe you're hesitant to speak the truth. Maybe you're hesitant to jump out and minister, to care for a coworker or a neighbor. Ways in which, I know, I'll tell you what I'm going to write on mine. I'm going to write pride on mine, because I'm sometimes too prideful to walk over to my neighbors or speak this truth to people as I'm walking through my neighborhood. Mine is going to be, at least one of the words on there is going to be pride. How is it that maybe you're hesitant? Maybe something is handicapping you. Maybe something is holding you back from speaking the truth to those that need to hear it most. So we're going to play some music, and I'll come back with just a few announcements. If you want, you can take these strips of fabric and you can bring them right here to this cross, and you can place them just right in this bucket. Not quite done. You can keep working through that. Just have a few announcements I'm going to share with you before we take off tonight. We were going to do a bonfire tonight, but it's still pretty warm out, still pretty hot out. So instead, we're going to make our way down to the ice cream place. Somebody remind me what it's called. Jenny's. Yes, thank you. It's right on, Northland and 18 Mile, right? Yeah, it's right up there. It's a good place to hang out. It's fun, and they have good ice cream. So we're gonna head on up there. If you want to join us, stick around for just a few minutes. Help us to clean up this place a little bit, and we've got some stuff up here that we gotta take care of. And yeah, John will be able to tell you. I guess all this stuff. We've had a great time this summer since school's out. We don't have to worry about kind of tearing this place down and setting it back up ready for school. But since school's starting to get back in gear, we have to do a little bit more of that. So we could really appreciate your help if you want to stick around for just a few minutes. The other thing is next week we're doing another kind of special teaching, very different than last week. But again, it's going to be kind of a special one. So we're not going to do a tailgater next week. We're going to hold off on that and just plan on this special teaching. The third thing is, did you notice my little mustache right here? Probably can't really tell that well, can you? It is mustache night at Fifth Third Ballpark. My house church is going to go and watch the game. When did I say it? Tonight? Tomorrow night? Oh, yeah, it's tomorrow night, Monday night at 7. You can either meet at our place and we'll carpool out there, or you can just meet us at the game. It's at 7 o'clock. If you need any more information, you can talk to me or Amy, and we'll be able to hook you up. And you need to start working on your mustache, too. I don't know what that means. I just saw it on the website, so I thought I'd grow a mustache for fun. Yeah, she'll have hers tomorrow. and the fourth thing is, many of you probably have already started to hear this, and I want to share this with you. It's kind of something that we're right now beginning to work through, but starting in the fall, the middle school is doubling our rent here. For us, financially, that's not doable. So we're working on figuring out a place where we're going to be able to meet coming up this fall. I'm not sure exactly on the date, but we do have kind of a couple ideas, and we've got someone really heading that up and taking that lead. But I just want to communicate that because, you know, those of you that didn't know that yet, I want to make sure that you're on board with that too. So starting here in the fall, we're not going to be able to meet in this place anymore, but we'll find another place to gather and continue to meet together, continue to care for each other, and continue to worship Jesus. That's it. If you want to stick around, we're going to grab some ice cream, help us tear this place down a little bit, and other than that, we'll catch you here next week, same time. Have a good week.